الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله.
The Quran employs a number of rational devices which appeal directly to our good reason, challenging us to seriously consider the veracity of its message and, therefore, its claim to emanate from the divine. One of those devices, which is unique for any religious scripture, is the Quran's bringing its own falsification tests.
وَإِن كُنتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَى عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِّثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ
And if you are in doubt concerning that which we have sent down to our slave, then produce a chapter like it and call your witnesses besides Allah, if you are truthful. The Quran is in fact so uniquely erudite, so singularly eloquent, rhythmic beyond poetry, profound beyond prose, it truly is an inimitable literary miracle. This requires a degree of detail which, unless one is familiar with the Arabic language, may not be readily appreciable. And this subject of the miracles of the Quran requires a separate dedicated study to give it a semblance of justice. Suffice to say for now, the challenge to produce the likeness of the Quran has never been met since its revelation over 1400 years ago, and nor will anyone ever come close, because, as the Quran is the very word of God, that which is uncreated and infallible cannot be created by man with his many fallibilities.
If I read a couple of bits of early Meccan surahs, it'll give you some idea of exactly what the Arabic sounds like, and I can point to one or two of the features which I think make it poetic. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Which translated is, when the heaven is cleft asunder, when the planets are dispersed, when the seas are poured forth and the sepulchres are overturned, a soul will know what it hath sent before and what it left behind. Now, it's obvious that the first four verses here are exactly structurally parallel, and they all end in a verb which ends in at. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ, and so on. All of the first four verses are exactly the same syntactic structure, that when the heaven is cleft asunder, when the planets are dispersed, when the seas are poured forth. And this creates a kind of tension, really, in the listener. What actually is coming? These are all subordinate clauses, as linguists say. What is the main point? And we're held in suspense until suddenly, with a tremendous punch, we get the fifth verse, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. A soul shall know what it hath sent before it and what left behind. In other words, on the day of judgment, which is what the first four verses are talking about, what will happen? Every person will know exactly what he's done and exactly what he hasn't done, what he's left undone.
أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أفلا يتدبرون القرآن ولو كان من عند غير الله لوجدوا فيه اختلافا كثيرا.
Do they not consider the Quran carefully? Had it been from other than Allah, they would surely have found therein much contradiction. A great many have tried and continue to try to falsify the Quran by seeking to highlight its non-existent errors and discrepancies. But they have always fallen short. In fact, there is barely a Muslim community in any country today except that it includes within its ranks former high-profile non-Muslims, pastors to politicians and everyone in between, who were once hostile to Islam, but were then won over to the religion after having initially set out to uncover supposed Quranic falsehoods, only to discover the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help them God.
وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ قل أفرأيتم ما تدعون من دون الله إن أرادني الله بضر هل هن كاشفات ضره أو أرادني برحمة هل هن ممسكات رحمته قل حسبي الله عليه يتوكل المتوكلون.
And verily, if you ask them, the polytheists, who created the heavens and the earth, they will surely say Allah. Say, tell me then, the things that you invoke besides Allah. If Allah intended some harm for me, could they remove his harm? Or if he intended some mercy for me, could they withhold his mercy? Say, sufficient for me is Allah. In him do those who trust place their trust. The rhetorical device in this ayah has a name. Tasa'ulatu ilzamiyya ifhamiyya. Smoldering questions that mandate a response. Ifhamiyya being derived from the same Arabic root for fahm, a burning ember or coal. Because upon examining the syntactical structure, we find not just a question, but an oath, a promise that the polytheists will affirm Allah as being the Lord God of the universe, and in doing so, they bear witness against their polytheism. Ergo, they have been smouldered, as if embers on a barbecue. The lam or el character, prefixing the conditional conjunction in, if, is called al-lamul muwatti'atu lil-qasam, the lam that facilitates the swearing or witnessing of an oath. However, the oath, the explicit qasam, is itself omitted from the ayah. Otherwise, the verse might have read, Wallahi sayaquloon Allah, by Allah, they will say, they will answer, Allah. Instead, the present plural for the verb to say is prefixed with a lam al-qasam, an el letter which denotes the swearing of the oath, and is suffixed with a noon at-tawqid al-thaqila, the heavy noon or end letter which gives emphasis. Point is, Allah assures his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the pagan Quraysh, if questioned, will affirm Allah's lordship, his rububiyyah, his being the creator, sovereign and sustainer of the universe, and that the lawazim, the necessary corollary of the pagans' answer, is their admission that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped and invoked, not no idol or creature, not no god of their own manufacture. And herein lies the miracle. All that it would have taken for the Quran to be falsified would have been for one single pagan to deny Allah's existence. Boom! Islam destroyed. Actually, less than even that. They could have still affirmed Allah as God, a God, just not the God who creates and sustains the heavens and the earth. But they couldn't do it. They couldn't even conspire to pretend to deny Allah's lordship. And there are so many such verses, many such passages which implicitly and repeatedly taunted the Quraysh to contradict the Quran and thereby discredit the Prophet and the whole of Project Islam. Speaking of which, at the very start of the Prophet's public mission, in around 613 of the Common Era, he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ascended Mount Safa in the morning and summoned the Quraysh to gather together outside. Then he said to the gathered crowd, "Do you see? If I tell you that an enemy is going to attack you in the morning or in the evening, أَكُنْتُمْ تُصَدِّقُونِ? Will you believe me?" قَالُوا نَعَمْ. They replied, "Yes." The Prophet then said, فَإِنِّي نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. Then I am a plain warner to you of a coming severe punishment. Amongst the gathered crowd was one of the Prophet's paternal uncles, Abu Lahab, who, as well as being a staunch idol worshipper, was a particularly cruel and nasty man, as was his wife, Arwa bint Harb, a nasty woman. Both Abu Lahab and his woman were a match made in hell. Abu Lahab was livid with his nephew's call. He exclaimed, "Alihada jama'atana? You gathered us for this? You called us out for this? Tabban lak! Be you perished!" So Allah revealed the surah,
تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب في جيدها حبل من مسد.
Perish the hands of Abu Lahab, and perish he. His wealth and his children will not avail him. he will be burnt in a fire of blazing flames. And his woman too, who carries thorny wood, in her neck is a twisted rope of palm fiber. Remember, this was the very first year of the Prophet's mission. Abu Lahab and his wife could have seriously undermined the fledgling Muslim community and potentially dealt a death blow to Islam by simply pretending to embrace it, thereby forcing God to abrogate Surah Lahab, or otherwise explain how He, Allah, the one who has perfect knowledge, including of all past, present and future events, prematurely damned the Prophet's uncle and aunt to hell despite their becoming Muslims. But it didn't matter, because the truth of the matter was that neither Abu Lahab nor his wife would embrace Islam. Their kufr, their disbelief and hatred of Tawheed would simply not allow it. Allah had sealed their hearts after their having had resolutely chosen to oppose their nephew, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and his religion. In fact, Abu Lahab remained a belligerent and obstinate enemy of the Prophet until the former's death, a full 10 odd years after Surah Lahab was revealed. Yet one more of the many miracles of a falsifiable Qur'an. At any point in that decade plus period, Abu Lahab, his wife, or the both of them, could have undermined Islam by pretending to declare their faith in Muhammad, as many a hypocrite actually did. But they did not, because they could not. It was a matter decreed.
وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ فَأَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ وَقِيلِهِ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمٌ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ فَاصْفَحْ عَنْهُمْ وَقُلْ سَلَامٌ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ.